All right, brethren, Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Let's read it again together. Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord. That's our title. That's so important to get. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. They that trust in the Lord. It's simply by trusting in the Lord that Christ saves his people. Through simple faith in the Lord Jesus is how we're saved. Trusting him. Looking to him alone, our confidence being Christ alone. That's the first thing that we're told here. Salvation is only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through faith in Christ. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. When the Lord first begins to teach us, he teaches us what sinners we are, so that we no longer have flesh, have confidence in our flesh. We no longer have confidence in our own selves, in what we do to save ourselves. That's not our confidence. That's not our trust. He says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Not they that trust in their will. Not they that trust in their knowledge of doctrine. We're talking about simple, childlike trust in the Lord. Not they that trust in their understanding and providence. The Lord will bring us into providence and we don't have any understanding of what he's doing. Not they that trust in their works. Not they that trust in other sinners. But they that trust in the Lord. They that trust in the Lord. Philippians 3:3. We are the circumcision. When God has sent the Spirit, he circumcised us in the heart, given us a new heart. Here's the three characteristics of the circumcision. The true Jew, God's true people, the Israel of God, the elect that he's called out and given an understanding. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. The Spirit of God's taught us from the beginning. He taught us from the beginning, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And he'll let you ever so often, he'll let you see that's still so. In my flesh dwells no good thing. We're learning it more and more. We're learning it time and time again. In our flesh dwells no good thing. And through many afflictions and through many distresses, as we go through this world, this is an ascension psalm. This is a psalm they sing as they're on their way up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. This is us, God's people, as we're on our way to heavenly Jerusalem. This is us as we pass through this world and through many afflictions and through many stresses and distresses, the Spirit of God convinces his child of this thing over and over. I am the sinner. You know, we start out, and when we were unregenerate, the sinners are those other bad people. And when you start out even as a believer, you still start thinking, the real sinners that are out there. No. The Lord makes you know right away, and he keeps making us know it more and more. He makes his child say personally, I am the sinner. I am the sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. It's where he has to bring us. The only thing that comes from a sin nature, my sin nature, your sin nature, is sin. He teaches us it's true of all men from the lowest degree to the highest degree. Listen to Psalm 62:9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are all together, high, low, in between. All men are altogether lighter than vanity. That's so of everybody in this world. We fail. We came into bondage, and we have a sin nature from Adam. So God tells us, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in others. There's some folks in this world that thinks the Pope is, they think he's the vicar. There's just one vicar. Christ is the one whose vicarious sin-atoning sacrifice saved his people. We trust in him. Repentance. Really, when you get down to it, repentance is the Spirit of God convincing us we're such wretched sinners that we can't trust in ourselves. We can't trust in our works. We're not saved by trusting in ourselves. Not for eternal salvation, and not even for in providence, brethren. Scriptures are so clear on that. Not even in providence. Lord will shut you up. He'll give you providence to where he'll show you you can't save yourself. He'll put you in places sometime where there's no way you can save yourself. But he gives faith so that we trust in the Lord. We're looking away from self to the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting in the Lord. And the Lord honors the faith he gives. Where he's given faith to trust him, he's not going to betray that trust. Psalm 37:40, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. He said this, I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. He promised, he said, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. When he gives you faith to trust him, you won't be ashamed to trust him. You won't be ashamed to confess him before men. And he'll never put you to shame for trusting him. He'll never betray that trust. He will honor that faith he's given. Make good on every word he's promised. Look over at Jeremiah 17. I want you to see this. Jeremiah 17. Here they are side by side now. Side by side. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord. This is the Lord speaking. Thus saith the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. But now look back here in our text in Psalm 125 and see where the emphasis is here. Now the world puts emphasis on your faith, but that's not the emphasis of this psalm. The emphasis of this psalm is the Lord who our faith is trusting in. Listen, Christ is the strength. He's the salvation of each sinner who he gives faith to trust in him. That's the message in our psalm. Listen. Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth even forever. That earthly mount, it couldn't be removed. Well, his heavenly Mount Zion can't be removed. The Lord's church is Mount Zion. You've not come to the mount that might be touched, that mountain that was on fire and quake. He said, you've come to heavenly Mount Zion, You've come to heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come, been drawn to God. You've been brought to Christ, our mediator of the everlasting covenant. The Lord's Mount Zion can't be removed because God our Father chose us and trusted us to Christ. You know, that's what Ephesians 1 said. He saved us to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ. Who first trusted Christ? It wasn't the apostles. It wasn't even Adam. You know who first trusted Christ? God the Father chose him and said, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him." He trusted, he chose a people by free grace, and he trusted them to Christ. He's the first one. And after we heard the gospel, then he gave us faith to trust him. But the Father's the first one to trust him. That's why his people can't be moved. He trusts us to his Son, and his Son's going to honor the Father. We can't be moved because the Lord Jesus came and he laid down his life for his people, and he's the righteousness of his people. He has justified his people from all our sin. He has honored the law on behalf of God. His righteousness is round about us like the mountains. His intercession for us with the Father is our protection, surrounding us all the time. And his sovereign power, the God-man mediator, has all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. Every name, above every name that is named. And he's the sovereign power, and it says, and underneath are his everlasting arms. He said through Isaiah, he'll put his cloud upon every assembly and upon every dwelling place, and his glory shall be the defense. It's our Lord Jesus. And we can't be moved because the Spirit of God has quickened us and given us faith to trust Christ. And he's going to keep his people trusting the Lord Jesus. The Lord said when the Spirit of God has come, he will not speak of himself. He said he'll glorify me. He'll take the things that are mine and he'll glorify me. And when you know you're hearing the Spirit of the Lord is when Christ is getting all the glory and his people are being turned to Christ and shut up to Christ to trust Christ alone. Because that's who the Spirit gives the glory to, and he makes his people give him the glory. That's why we can't be moved. God the Father chose us, Christ redeemed us, the Spirit regenerated us, and our God, our one triune God, is going to preserve his people and keep us all the way to the end. He's round about his people. Look there. Earthly Jerusalem was surrounded. It's surrounded by earthly mountains. Well, it's the Lord that's round about his people, his Jerusalem. Read verse 2 again. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Now I want you to turn over to Psalm 62. And I want to show you this. Now, when we read these Psalms, you always do well to hear Christ speaking first. And I want you to hear this word we're about to read as first being Christ, looking to God his Father, believing God his Father. You know the rod of the wicked fell upon our Lord Jesus. It fell upon our substitute. Scripture says his visage was marred more than any man. I know it was the justice of God that was the greatest suffering that he endured in place of his people. But he also endured the rod of the wicked. But who did he trust when that happened? Who was he looking to? How did he save his people? How did he fulfill all righteousness for us? He trusted the Father. He looked to the Father. And then you hear this as being what his saints, he brings his saints to do. We trust him. Now hear him trusting the Father, and then hear David trusting Christ. Listen to this. Psalm 62:1. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's the mountain surrounding us. He's the rock and our only salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. You think about that regarding our Lord Jesus. The Pharisees smiting with the rod of wickedness, and they would come and speak such smooth things to him, but in their heart they wanted to curse him. They wanted to take him down from his excellent glory. What did he do? Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My expectation is from him. Hear Christ say that. And you do that. You look to Christ and you say to your soul, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. You see that? That's how Christ saved us. He had perfect faith, trusting the Father in perfection, obeying the Father in perfection for his people, even to the death of the cross. Even while the rod of wickedness is upon him on that cross, he looked to the Father. And he commands you and me, now you trust him. You look to Christ and trust him to do all the saving. He has justified his people. He has saved us. He is saving us, and he shall save us. When any time you suffer, you look to him now. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust in the Lord alone? Is he your only confidence? I mean, trust him like a little child. I mean, knowing whatever providence he sends, but the Lord sent it, the Lord's ruined it, the Lord will teach me in it, the Lord will deliver me in it. All my expectation is from him. And trust the Lord. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, and abideth forever. The Lord's round about his people henceforth even forever. So this is the first thing. Don't miss this now. This is for those that trust in the Lord. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking anywhere else. It's trusting in the Lord. All right? Now, secondly, it's only trusting in the Lord, and it's only going to be by the Lord that we're going to be saved from the rod of the wicked. Now, look what he says in Psalm 125, and look at verse 3. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Now, the Lord does not say here, he does not say that the rod of the wicked will not fall upon the righteous. Our Lord, he suffered the rod of the wicked. The Pharisees, they didn't look like the wicked to men. They looked holy to men. They looked righteous to men. But they smote him with the rod of wickedness. They called him a blasphemer. They called him a gluttonous man, a winebibber. They went looking for ways to condemn him. They bore false witness against him, told a half-truth about him. And they finally turned him over to the Roman government, and they wanted him crucified. The Lord doesn't say the rod of the wicked shall never touch his saint. He said the servant's not greater than his master. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. What did Paul say about that? In Galatians 4:29, he said, as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And that's always the order. God's people are sheep. Sheep are not lions. Sheep are not predators. Sheep are defenseless creatures. And that's always the order. You're not going to find it the other way around. Those born after the Spirit are not smiting with the rod of wickedness those that are fleshly, and we're certainly not smiting our brethren. It's always those born after the flesh smiting those that are born after the Spirit. You think about this. The Lord didn't say that you won't be touched with the rod of wickedness. The king of Assyria, he smote with the rod of wickedness the elect in Judah when he came up against Judah. But what did the Lord say? He said, the king of Assyria is the rod in my hand. Sennacherib was the rod in the Lord's hand. He was using that king to chasten his children in Judah, correct them, bring them to trust in the Lord. That's what he was doing. And that gives us comfort, brethren. If you do experience the rod of wickedness, remember, it's the Lord. He's the first cause. He's doing it for the good of his people. He's doing it to bring us to trust in the Lord, keep us trusting in the Lord. You think about Job. The rod of the devil fell hard upon Job. But the devil could not do one thing without the Lord's permission. I tell you what, that gives me comfort. That gives me great comfort. Because what I see in Job is, I see a man who, though he was a man who eschewed evil, though he trusted the Lord, you read Job, you see a man who, he's yet a sinner in himself. But what was the end? It was all for Job's good. He increased Job in faith. He brought Job to trust the Lord more, and it was for his good. And that, brethren, that's only if the Lord permits the devil to smite with the rod of wickedness, it's only for the good of his people. That comforts me. Whatever comes my way, I know my Lord is ruling this, and it's going to be for my good. It'll be good for me that I've been afflicted, like David said, Psalm 119. But our Lord promises this, though you may be smitten with the rod of wickedness, he promises the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. It won't rest upon you. It won't be forever. Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. The Lord remembers we're dust. He knows what we are. We can't take too much, and he knows that. The righteous are made righteous only in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our only right. The Jehovah Sid Canu, the Lord our righteousness. That's how we're made righteous, is in him. The Lord gave us faith to know Christ is our only righteousness. So the Lord will not permit the rod of the wicked to rest on us, because the pressure from that would turn us from the Lord and make us put forth our hands to iniquity. And he won't let that happen. You're not going to let that happen. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin in the trial. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin when the pressure comes. But what it is to put forth your hand to iniquity is to be turned away from trusting Christ alone. To be turned away trying to save ourselves. That's wickedness. And the Lord's not going to permit it, lest the pressure of it make you submit to the will works religion, to those that have smitten you with the rod of wickedness, and make you compromise and make you turn from Christ and start partially looking to the work of your own hands to make you righteous or to make you holy. Is that not what the Pharisees were doing? When the Judaizers came, they were saying, it's okay to trust Christ, but now except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. They were trying to mix law and grace. And unless that pressure from such affliction, unless that make you put forth your hand to iniquity. Iniquity, brethren, is spoken of in Scripture as those that are trying and thinking by the works of their hands that they're righteous and holy. The Lord, at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he started that sermon and said, except your righteousness and exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you can't be saved. And he ends it talking about men who are just like the scribes and Pharisees. They say, Lord, didn't we do many works, wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we preach in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because all their works didn't measure up to the righteousness God demands. It will never measure up to the holiness God demands. And unless the pressure, and it's a lot of pressure when men try to get you to submit and get you to compromise on the gospel. And sometimes it's people that you don't want to hurt their feelings. But brethren, the Lord, he won't let that pressure go forever, because he's not going to let his people turn and put forth your hand to iniquity and turn from him and cease trusting him alone. He's not going to permit that in his people. There's other ways this will happen too. You take somebody who puts pressure on you at your job, and they're going to give you a promotion, but now you're going to not be able to go to the house of the Lord. You're going to have to skip. It won't be all the time, just sometimes. That's how it always starts. Just sometime. And then it'll be more times, and the next thing you know, it'll be all the time. And in turn, next thing you know, you've gone after the world's riches. The end motive of the oppressor is always to oppress others into submission to them. That's always the motive, that they may glory in your flesh. So the Lord, he's not going to permit the rod of the wicked to let his child be turned from trusting in the Lord alone. Alone. He's not going to permit that. Now, here's the way. This is how we're going to be saved. This is the way. This is the last thing. Christ is going to turn his child. When the rod of the wicked comes, it has a purpose, the Lord's purpose, and here it is. He's going to bring you to cry out to the Lord to save. This is the prayer he puts in our heart. Verse 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, to them that are upright in their hearts. Those that be good are those in whom the Spirit has created an upright heart, a new heart, an honest heart, so that we confess our only goodness is the Lord Jesus Christ. An upright heart is a heart that's been, you know, he calls us, calls the all the workers of iniquity and the self-righteous religion is turning things upside down. God has to turn your heart upright. To look up to him. God makes Christ wisdom unto us. And so when the rod of the wicked comes, and it would pressure you to look to your own wisdom, to lean to your own understanding, to try to deliver yourself out from under the pressure and out from under the oppressor, and he'll try to make you figure out a way that you can fix it. That's just looking to the iniquity of our own hand and results in iniquity. And so the Spirit of our Lord, he will make you turn from leaning to your own understanding, and he'll make you cast all your care on the Lord and call out to him, oh Lord, do good, oh Lord, save your people, oh Lord. He'll bring you to call out to him to be your wisdom. Lead me in the right way. Those that God's made upright in heart, he's made us to know there's none good but God, because he's made Christ's righteousness to us. He made us see what it took for God to look upon him and say, this is my only son, my servant, whom I'm well pleased. You see what it takes for God to call somebody good? It takes the perfection of Christ himself is. And he's made you see he's your only righteousness. So when the rod of the wicked would pressure you and they would make you pressure you into looking to the iniquity of your own hands and to your works to make you righteous, the Lord will bring you to cry out to him to be your judge. Cry out to him to plead your cause. Cry out to him who is your righteousness, who settled judgment at the cross for you. Call on him to work righteousness for you. God made Christ's sanctification to us. And so when the rod of the wicked would pressure you into sanctifying yourself and looking to the works of your hands to sanctify yourself, and you'll, you know, that's what the word Pharisee means, separate ones. And you'll start to thinking you're separated yourself and you did this yourself, and you'll become proud of yourself, and you're not separated at that point. You've gotten tangled up in that bondage again. Who's the sanctifier? Christ is. And how does he do that? He comes and he speaks into your heart and he brings you out of that, and he brings you to partake of his holiness and trust him and know he's your perfection. And so he calls you to cry out and say, Lord, do good, O Lord, to them that you've made to be upright in heart. Be the mountain around us and protect us, Lord, and keep us separated unto you. Don't let us be swallowed up with the workers of iniquity. God made Christ's redemption to us, so we know when we brought into this rod of the wicked, and you can't deliver yourself from it, and there's nothing you can do to get free from it, but you know Christ is the one who redeemed you from the curse and condemnation of the law by being made a curse for us. And you know he can deliver you from it. He's already delivered you from the curse. He can deliver you from the rod of the wicked. And he brings you to cry out to the one who is your redeemer. And you say, Lord, deliver us from this. We cry to our sovereign Savior, do good, O Lord, to those that be good and are upright in their hearts. Upright to admit to be honest that in our flesh dwells nothing good, upright to admit that we're not the wisdom and the righteousness and the holiness and the redemption. We're not our Savior. Upright to admit that we need Christ to save us. That's uprightness. Christ sends his trial. He rules the rod of the wicked. Now listen. Nothing happens in this world that our sovereign Savior is not in total, absolute control of. He's God. That is the very definition of God. He rules all. And our Lord sent the rod of the oppressor. And he does it for this reason. He does it to manifest those who are his. He does it to manifest those that he's preserving. He does it to manifest those that he has approved by his righteousness. And that what he said? There must needs be heresies that they which are approved might be made manifest. Those that he's approved. Those that he's made righteous. Those that he's born again by his Spirit. Those that he's keeping trusting him alone. Now, if Christ be not the root within us, then the rod of the wicked will turn men aside to their crooked ways, and they'll make you be led away with them. But now listen, if that happens, the Lord is leading them away. Listen, read it. Verse 5, as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, this is the rod of the wicked. This is a result of it. He turns men aside to the wicked's crooked ways. Now you think about the Pharisees when they crucified the Lord. They didn't think they were the wicked. He was the wicked. They went right on in their religion. What had they done for many? Turn them away to their crooked ways. But if that happens, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. The Lord did it. It's sinner's fault. Sinner has no one to blame but himself, but the Lord led him away. You know, in his parable, the Lord declared three out of the four hearers. This happened to three out of the four hearers. The sower that soweth the word, and these that are by the wayside hearer, the word was sown, but when they heard, Satan came immediately. Here comes the rod of the wicked. He came immediately, took away the word that was sown in their heart. Then you had those that were stony ground hearers. And when they heard the word immediately, they received it with gladness. They sprung up, but they have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The rod of the wicked comes, and they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns. The thorny ground hearer, they hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things in their end choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And they're led away. They're led away. Peer pressure. Don't want to offend men. Rather offend God than men. Submitting to men, trusting men rather than trusting in the Lord. But the Lord said, if they're led away, he said, I led them away. But look at verse 5, Psalm 125:5. But peace shall be upon Israel. Christ is the peace of his people. When God our Father sent the rod of the wicked upon our substitute, and it was only by the permission of God. It was men wicked, with wicked hands doing what God had before determined to be done. That's what it is with you and me too, brethren. Don't forget that. If it was so of our Lord, it's so of you. But these men came upon our Lord Jesus doing what the Lord had determined before to be done, to save his people, to glorify his Son. And what did our Lord do? He did one thing. He trusted in the Father. That's what he did. Listen to Psalm 22:13. Actually, go over and look at it. Psalm 22:13. I want you to see it. Listen, I'm trying to show you this is how we were saved, brethren. This is how all God's elect were saved. It was by the faithful one, the Lord Jesus. And look what he did now. Psalm 22:13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 15, he says, my strength dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He knew who was ruling it. Down at verse 15. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. You know what he's doing? He's trusting in the Lord. Our Savior trusted the Father to fulfill his covenant word. He was fulfilling the covenant word he promised the Father, and he trusted the Father to fulfill the covenant word to him. And look down at verse 22. I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Christ is praising the Father. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Talk about himself. He hadn't abhorred my affliction. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard him. You see that? He heard it. The Father heard him. He heard him. Now you mark this down. Back in our psalm, in Psalm 125. Mark this down. I'm telling you something I know. I'm telling you this. There is only one thing his people do by which we are saved. One thing. One thing. How are you going to be saved from the rod of the wicked? There's only one thing his people do. Verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall not be moved. There be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. Here's why they won't be moved. So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Remember that night when our Lord was going to the cross, and his disciples were so afraid. They were so troubled. You know what they're afraid of? They were afraid of the rod of the wicked. That's what they were afraid of. And what did our Lord tell them? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust me. Trust me. He said, peace will be upon Israel. Christ is at peace. He told them after he said some other things, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. How does he give this peace? He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What did he tell them at the beginning? Believe in me. Trust in me. Say, faith, that's just such a simple thing. Well, if it was so simple, everybody would be doing it. No, it takes the grace of God. It takes God giving you faith. It takes Christ sustaining your faith. You see, the only way you're going to trust in the Lord is the Lord keeping you and preserving you. And the reason he sends the rod of the wicked is to show you we can't trust ourselves. We'll put our hand forth to iniquity just to try to get out from under the pressure. But he sends that rod to show you, trust me. And he gives you the faith to trust him. He puts the prayer in your heart to cry to him. And he keeps you trusting him. And that's how you'll never be moved. That's how you'll be saved. He's round about his people all the time. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. I pray God bless that. Brother Greg.